That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Gary Cantrell, Seth Cush. What's going on, Gary?
Not too much, Seth. Just enjoyed this amazing AEW show on Sunday.
Yeah, I watched none of the AEW at all, so I'm lucky to have you kind of fill me in. I see a lot of stuff online, you know, and that's all I need to see for a lot of this, a lot of this stuff, a lot of the AEW. So what was the big match? The big match this week was Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson.
100%, man. Like, I know that generally wrestling fans, especially online, like, they complain about literally everything, but I really haven't seen any complaints about this match. Like, it was about as perfect of a wrestling match as you could have. Like, high moves off the top rope, you know, intensity, there's a story, submission. Like, it had literally everything involved with it. That's, the one match that I would say that everybody, including yourself, go out of your way. If you watch, like, one wrestling match this week, that's the one to see.
What is it, man? What is it about this match? What do these guys do? Because like I said, I didn't watch the Will Ospreay match that you told me to. You know, I forgot about it probably as soon as you told me. So, you know, what is it? I heard now people were talking about, I saw the end of it where people were talking about, you know, was Bryan Danielson actually hurt or was that just kind of part of the angle? Do you know at all? It looked like it was a work. So
yeah, it was totally. That's the thing about this style of wrestling now. You see it a lot in New Japan where these guys work incredibly, as they would say in the business, stiff. And so the shots look really convincing and a lot of the stuff is very heavy hitting. So like you'll see like a guy like pile drive somebody pretty much right on his neck, or at least that's how it looks. And like sometimes when you'd watch stuff like WWF back in the day, WWE, before the style really changed, it didn't look necessarily as convincing. But this is like a far more stiff type of style. And that's really where they were going with that.
All right. Now I'm going to get to your next topic that you have here about Swerve. Well, I want to go to WWE real quick. It just feels like we haven't talked about them enough at all. You know, what was the big, there's too much, Gary, right now in my world, man, you know, having to get up early. Hockey, basketball, love it all. You know, I mean, I love all what's happening playoffs. So I haven't had a chance to watch Raw. I did see, you know, that Becky Lynch won the title. Little surprising to me. I don't know everybody that was in the match, but I think we talked about that. She was going on a book tour. Like she was supposed to take time off. I guess WWE called her and was like, hey, you know, we'll put the strap on you. And she gave it up. I mean, to me, it's probably better to promote your book when you are the champion. Maybe, you know, brings a little more attention. But are you surprised at kind of how that played out?
Yeah. I mean, I think last week on our show, I was really pushing for Liv to like go on something like long term because, you know, I feel like if you're going to have her and Rhea Ripley go at it, I want that story to be meaningful as possible. But Becky Lynch, I mean, look, she's been around forever now. She is just everything you'd want in a women's champion. So having her get the title is the right move if it's not Liv. The other ones, you know, Nia Jax, you know, some of these other ladies, I just don't really see the title fitting on. But Becky, yeah, everything I heard, she was absolutely supposed to be on vacation and relaxing and healing, and now she's got to be working all summer.
Well, I thought it was great, too. And you could obviously tell that, you know, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch's time off, you know, aligned. You know, Seth Rollins injured, you know, going to go chill out for, I think, you know, a month or two.
Yeah.
And then Becky Lynch going on her book tour. It makes perfect sense to, you know, be off at the same time. So maybe Seth Rollins is just like, you know, fuck it. I'll hang out all day by my house. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know exactly how long he's going to be out. Like, I don't even have like a real estimation. But I would have
to
guess
what,
4 months.
Did you see the video of, so it was shot at WrestleMania and it's when he's kind of like crawling in the ring to hit Roman with the chair. And when he's crawling out or after he gets hit, like his leg is in a very odd position. I don't know if you've seen that one that's going around. It looks really, really, really bad. I guess what happened? Did he like tear? Did he tear something in his knee the first night? Is that what happened?
Well, the injury actually goes back further than that. So it was around Royal Rumble time, if I remember correctly, where he had this injury and he did this big promo in the ring about how like he was going to be out of it for the next few months, but he would make Mania. But dude, like the video you're talking about specifically, I saw that and he looked really bad. So I'm like, either A, it got worse in that match, which none of like the news online has reported that that's what happened, where like it specifically happened at WrestleMania. But like there had to be something that happened in either the buildup during one of the brawls maybe, or specifically at WrestleMania, that would have agitated that, because that looks like really bad.
It is, and you know, I know it. Seth Rollins is the working man's champion, and he had no problem defending it and working every single night. But I mean, you're gonna have to take some time off after something like that. I mean, and I tell you what, Gary. I mean, WrestleMania, I liked it a lot. You know, some of the best shit I've ever seen. But I thought it was a lot having a lot of these guys wrestle, you know, back to back nights. So I mean, especially now when you look back and you go, wow, this guy was totally injured. You know. I wonder if these guys, how much they think about, you know, how, where am I going to be in 5 years from now? Like, I want to make sure that, you know, I don't totally completely fuck my shit up. So, you know, I can't, or if they just are thinking about the moment and I just have to get, I'm sure they're just in the moment. Like, I got to get through this. This is the biggest WrestleMania of all time. And I am playing a pivotal role, and he did it, but the man deserves some rest.
Absolutely. I do remember there was, I think it was overseas, and I want to say it was like 2015, where he was the world champion and he got injured overseas. And this is the problem too, because a lot of times when these injuries come up, dude, like they're just happening off regular moves, like nothing, you know, it's not like you're coming off of a ladder, through a table, through a sheet of glass or something, like just a simple like pile driver, for instance, or, you know, like the razor's edge, or just like simple moves can cause problems. And he's definitely been prone to these knee injuries a couple times over his career. And I'm wondering if after this happened, depending on the severity of it, if he's like, man, I don't know what's going on here. Do I need to change my style? What do I need to do to preserve myself so that I can get another 15, 20 years?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about changing his style. And maybe he doesn't want to wrestle for 15, 20 years. Maybe he's going to, you know, I don't know. He seems like a guy's going to wrestle for 15 or 20 years. So, you know, I'm sure his knee will be okay or whatever when they fix him up. All right, let's talk about this Swerve situation here. A lot of people seemed like, from what I saw online, a lot of people were very excited for Swerve, saying that Swerve deserved it. He took it off of Samoa Joe, right? So tell me about Swerve, and tell me why he seems to be such a fan favorite, and do you like the direction of him winning?
Absolutely. I've been campaigning for it on X for like the last like 3 or 4 months in a row that he's been in matches that are either related to number one contenders or direct title matches, which he's had a one previously, which was a three-way with Joe and Hangman. But he just has such a charisma about him. Prince Nana, who comes out to the ring with him, and he has that like goofy dance where he goes back and forth, and it's a really cool act. The guy is incredible in the ring, and he has the charisma. He's a rapper. He's involved in the music industry as well, so he's part of that culture. Yeah, not like a big rapper, but like, you know, he's involved in that. So you have that culture coming in, you have his natural charisma, his great in-ring ability, and it's just a beautiful package. So to me, having him win the title is a no-brainer. I thought it could have been months ago, but they wanted to kind of play this other story with Hangman and Samoa Joe, which I didn't have a problem with. I just selfishly thought that he needed to be on top of the company as soon as possible, because he was like, you know, like Rock in 97 or Steve Austin in late 96, early 97, like really starting to catch fire.
I got to tell you, it's probably might have been like 2016, 2017, Samoa Joe wrestled Brock Lesnar when they were just feeding, yeah, you know, anybody they could to Brock Lesnar. And that was one of the best matches that I had seen Samoa Joe put on, especially in WWE, because they just let him, you know, they were just beating the hell out of each other. And, you know, they were letting him, you know, get some stuff, and it wasn't like a squash match or anything. So it was Samoa Joe, now that he's given up the title, is he at the point in his career where he's just there to put people over, or is he still like a main eventer in, you know, either company?
I think he could be a main eventer in any company. Drop him right in. He's right there. I really enjoyed his last title reign. I mean, it was only from December on, so it wasn't like it was a super long title reign, but he really, he's the guy that's never had that gigantic run. I mean, people will say, yeah, he was big in TNA, but like, you know, it's TNA, like, and no disrespect, but it's just that they were at a certain level. And so WWE had him, to your point, they had him in that feud with Brock Lesnar, and he showed to me specifically in that feud that he is main event forever. You could put him, literally plug and play him, but I think, I feel like, at least in AEW, this is like that one big run he's going to get, and I don't know if WWE at his age is going to say, yeah, let's go with that again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't remember how he left WWE, if it was budget cuts or whatever. It didn't, you know, he was injured. It didn't seem like they were using him that much. I felt like he was doing some commentary for them before he left. I mean, very smart guy, very, you know, got a great personality. But, you know, I met Samoa Joe. I was able to interview him in studio when I worked on the Drew Garabo show. So I was pretty excited about that. I asked him, I was fucking felt real stupid, Gary. I was like, I was trying to come up with some questions and I was nervous because I just got back into wrestling and, you know, Samoa Joe sitting there. So I was like, man, I was like, it's got to be great, you know, to get this reaction when you come out, you know, whether it's good or bad. And he's like, yeah, you think? And I'm like, oh my God. He's like, what? He's like, what kind of stupid question is that? Like, he was busting me, but I was like, I am such a moron. So I just shut the hell up for the rest of the thing. But, you know, he's a good dude. So I'd like to see him again in some capacity, probably in WWE.
Now, hold on. And I agree. Not to get too sidetracked, but can I ask, is that like the one like most embarrassing question you've ever asked in all your time in radio? Or can you give the audience a specific example if that's not?
There's a lot of instances of people, you know, probably being somewhat sarcastic, you know, answering you back.
Yeah.
But going like, what kind of stupid question is that? Although messing with me, you know, did make me feel incredibly small. There was a moment a long, long time ago. I don't know who will remember this, but Warwick Dunn, who played football for the Buccaneers for a long time, and he ended up, then he went to go play for the Falcons, and his coach, God, was it Bobby Petrino? I can't fucking remember, man. The coach left. The coach quit in like the middle of the night and like left a letter in the locker room and just fucking left. So we had Warwick Dunn on our morning show in Tampa, and I asked him about it because I was a huge sports fan. I was like, dude, what was that like? He's like, I'm not talking about that. He's like, we're not bringing that up. I'm like, what? I don't know. Like. And he started like getting into me about it. And I was like, I have no, maybe he just had talked about it too much. I had no idea, but like, I felt like he was attacking me. And I was like, here's this all time great Buccaneer. So, I mean, there's been instances where I felt stupid, and the Samoa Joe is definitely one of those. So more so than when Bubba plays the Tukey Tukey shit.
Well, I'll tell you this. I actually interviewed Lex Luger back in 2013, 2014. He was doing a book tour. And I asked him about the time he slammed Andre the Giant on the Intrepid. It was actually Yokozuna. And he had to correct me. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Like, and I'm
Well, I mean, like, if that happened, I would work it in. I would, like, work it into, like, my answer of, like, yeah, you know what? I would be like, I would have loved to have slammed Andre the Giant. But, like, that was all I got was Yokozuna, man. But I'll tell you what, that was still something. Like, there's a way to work it in there without being a dick. Like, I'm very conscious of, like, trying to make people not feel, like, you know, not feel insecure and shit when they're on the radio. Because I know you're, like, a nerve-wracking place. So, you know, I don't know where I was going with all that. But I sent you a tweet, like, an hour ago, Gary, of WWE. And they released their draft rules and all this shit. Did you get a chance? Do you know it by heart? I have it in front of me. Can I go over it?
Yeah, go over it. I saw it, but I do not know it by heart.
And I'm assuming that this is to tie in with the NFL draft. You know that they're doing this. I can't imagine that. You know, this is just random. All right, here we go. There's too many damn rules, Gary. On SmackDown, there will be four rounds, 16 total picks.
Okay.
So I don't know how that goes. On Raw, there'll be six rounds, 24 total picks.
Yeah, so Raw's 3 hours, so they give them more picks by default.
Okay. Champions on each brand are protected.
Yeah, so I'm believing that they are staying right, and I thought that they were gonna stay where they were anyway. So
women's tag champions are eligible.
Okay.
SmackDown will pick first on Friday. Who does SmackDown pick, since Cody's locked in as the champ? Is it Roman Reigns?
Yeah, I would say that would be your first pick. And it's crazy because how they used to do it years ago was anybody was eligible, so they would naturally pick whoever the champion was or something like that. But yeah, they've since changed that.
Do you think for storyline purposes, The Rock needs to be drafted, or can he just show up whenever and wherever he wants to, and that makes sense? Kind of like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I think it's more the latter, and you can kind of just explain that in the storyline to the people, like, hey, he's one of the board. So
we've got SmackDown's going to pick first on Friday. So as we record this on Wednesday, that's in a couple of days. We think the first pick's going to be Roman Reigns. That's where our money's going. Raw will pick first on Monday. So their champion is Damian Priest.
Yep.
So who do you think the Raw first pick is? You think it's going to be Seth Rollins?
I would either say Seth.
CM Punk?
Ooh, CM Punk.
Or does one of these big guys go to SmackDown?
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think at least one of them will go to SmackDown. My belief is that it would probably be Punk, but I was thinking like LA Knight, definitely, like, he's a guy I could see them picking like first, either first or second. Because if you pick him first, that's a little like character boost there. It's like, oh man,
yeah,
we're going with him. So I think he needs to be over there. I think he needs a new set of opponents. But yeah, he would be my pick for one of the top picks.
See, I feel like you got to keep Punk and Drew McIntyre together.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I don't know how injured Punk is, but I feel like they're keeping that so fresh and alive. You know, if Punk was going to be out for 8 more months, I don't think you would keep having this be, you know, part of the major storyline. So I feel like Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, you know, are probably all going to stay together. That's my wild guess. So first pick for SmackDown, we're thinking Roman Reigns. First pick for Raw, we're thinking Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Or CM Punk. Okay. Or, you know, like you said, it could somebody that's going to get a big boost. And then rosters lock Monday, May 6th. So why does it seem like when they do the draft, Scary, that it holds up for like 3 months and then all of a sudden everybody's just on every show and like everybody forgets about it?
That's
like, I can't keep track. To me, it's like, you know, to me, it's like one big show. You know, I don't know who's separating all this stuff, because I feel like I see Cody Rhodes. I feel like I see Roman Reigns. I feel like I see Seth Rollins no matter what show I'm watching.
Yeah, I always default. I used to interview former writers on my old podcast, and they would always say, like, hey, don't give us the shit. Because most people go online, they're like, God, the writers suck. They're like, we write for Vince at that time, Vince McMahon. And he was the guy that really didn't see things like wins and losses mattering, or you know, things like protecting the draft, even though they have such a deep roster and they can pull from NXT. And you could do, like, you could go back to 2016 when, like, you had the Dean Ambrose era over on SmackDown. Like, that time specifically was so good when they kept it truly separate and they made the shows look legitimately different. And I have a little faith in Triple H and his creative crew that I feel like they will hold on to the draft element, at least for a while, just to show, like, hey, my vision's different.
What do you think about Gunther, my man? Do you think Gunther stays in SmackDown and they eventually have him versus Cody down the line?
I would like to see that personally, because I think that that's like that that's like your Rocky IV, like Drago versus Rocky Balboa, like, you
yeah,
know,
that's big.
The international wrestler and the all-American white meat babyface wrestler. I would love that. You could put that on SummerSlam. You could put it anywhere. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I would love to see those guys wrestle a bunch of times. I feel like I don't know how long they're going to keep the strap on Cody. It seems like for, you know, the next 12 years, they're going to let him break at anybody's record ever. Some, you know, some guy that wrestled in, you know, the Western Territory in 1850. Like, it feels like they're setting this guy up forever. But, you know, there's some viable guys to take him on right now. And I think Gunther's going to be one of those guys that's probably a top three pick in, you know, either company. They could put him on Raw. Like, they may put him on Raw, and, you know, who knows? They could have him, you know, go over on Seth Rollins or, you know, CM Punk or whomever. But I just feel like Gunther is getting set up. I guess I'll always talk about the guy. I think he's getting set up for something big. Who has dropped a strap recently in SmackDown? Who's coming up from SmackDown, do you think, in the draft?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I mean, because
Sol Ruka.
You could
is that be, her name? What's her name?
No, it is, you said right, Sol Ruka.
Is she what, is she not ready yet?
No, I don't think she's ready at all. Tiffany Stratton, she's ready. You could put her anywhere.
She's up.
Yeah.
She's up on the roster, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, I mean, NXT, I believe we're gonna get Ilya Dragunov. I mean, he's ready to go. You can put him anywhere on either brand, and that'll be really good. Although I think Dragunov and Seth Rollins gets me very excited, dude, because of the hard style that Dragunov wrestles with, and you have Seth, who's just so good in every aspect of his game. So I'd like to see those two guys go at it.
Man, I feel like this is kind of like a little like downtime for wrestling, because we got a couple good pay-per-views. We're going to France and everything for WWE, but, like, you know, we're killing time for SummerSlam. I feel like we're not going to see Seth Rollins until close to then. Even if we do,
yeah.
But I think the man really, really needs some time off, because we're just already talking about lining up Gunther and all these other opponents for him to kick his ass. So he's got to wait a little bit. Anything else, Gary? Anything we missed from the world of wrestling this week?
No, I really think that the biggest stories is obviously the draft, Becky Lynch, and the AEW. I mean, that is that show. I do want to say this. I want to make sure I say this very clear, because I was critical of AEW last week. And I want to make this very clear that when you pay your money and watch an AEW pay-per-view, they always deliver. I can't tell you one time where I had buyer's remorse watching an AEW pay-per-view. So, like, I know it's cool to dunk on AEW about their attendance or their poor storytelling or any number of things you want to do, but when it comes to the pay-per-view, that thing is lined up really nice. It's always stacked. My complaint is obviously that it's Sunday and it goes till midnight. I don't like that. And I probably would have put one of those women's matches in between the Ospreay and the Young Bucks match, because putting those two back to back just seemed like a little heavy-handed. And Jack Perry came back. That's what we needed to mention real quick. Jack Perry.
Is that really Luke Perry's son? I remember when Luke Perry died, a lot of people said his son was a wrestler. Was that him? Even they guess they kind of look alike.
Yeah, that's definitely him. I actually met him in Baltimore before the 2019 or after the 2019 Full Gear show. Super nice guy.
Why does he look like a prick? Like, why? Well, he seems like, I don't know if it's just his character when, you know, the CM Punk stuff, but, like, he's at the face of a prick.
Yeah, I definitely understand why people think that. I think it's just the tribalism online and people just, you know, CM Punk, no, Jack Perry, cry me a river. Like, these people, they just fight back and forth for hours on Twitter with bots and shit, and it's just like, it's really senseless. I mean, the guy, I don't agree with the fact that he went on live pay-per-view and did the Cry Me a River thing. Like, I think if you have to talk shit with somebody, do it backstage. Don't do it out on the camera, you know, to the live audience, because they don't know your backstage stuff. And I just think that I didn't agree with that, but I'm interested to see now what they do with this heel character, because clearly they're going to line him up with the Young Bucks and Okada.
Yeah, and speaking of the Cry Me the River stuff, Drew McIntyre did a, was it on some, I don't know if it was on X or if it was on, you know, TV, but
I think it was
somebody
Raw.
Asked, like, was it Raw? Like, somebody asked him why he stayed out there to taunt CM Punk.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a great answer.
Yeah.
He stayed out there so Damian Priest could cash in. But I like that he said that he was taking in his moment and everything like that. Like, I'm glad that they developed somewhat of, like, a story, because he seemed very, very, very passionate. And it seemed very, very believable. I can't get enough of Drew McIntyre right now, man. I wish everybody wasn't hurt so he could get his.
Absolutely. And the wild thing about him, all the dirt sheets are online speculating that he hasn't even re-signed yet. Like, he is, this is like down to the wire. And I wonder why that is, because I would look at everything you just mentioned, like, and all the meme stuff he's doing and the promos that he's been cutting since pretty much the Royal Rumble. Like, how do you not have that guy locked up? Like, I would be like, here's 5 years, bitch. Let's go.
Well, you know what? I don't think Drew McIntyre would go to any other promotion. I just think he's too big.
Yeah.
He's too big for that. And I think that he knows what he brings to the table, man. Like, he, to me, he's a top flight must have guy. He could be a top babyface. He could be a top heel. Probably more of a babyface, but, like, I feel like it's a no brainer. And maybe he's holding out for as much money as he can get. You know how these negotiations are, but WWE, to me, they're the ones that suffer if his contract lapses and, you know, he's not on shows for a few weeks. Like, I feel like they need him now more than ever with some of their main guys sitting on the bench.
100%. And yeah, if you can get more money, hold out for it and get as much as you can, because wrestlers are criminally underpaid. It's the same thing with the MMA fighters and, you know, WWE and UFC being under the same umbrella. It's like they're both shitty with paying money to most guys. So I hope he gets every penny. I think he's worth it, and shoot him to the fucking moon.
Hey, real quickly, let me just ask you, because this is on my mind. Sasha Banks, how's she doing? Did she have a match at this pay-per-view with AEW? And when's she coming home to WWE?
Oh my God. No. So she still has not wrestled. She's going to wrestle at Double or Nothing now in May. So
she hasn't had one match.
No, the rumor mill online is saying that she's still injured and she's not cleared. So they're trying to, like, push it off until May, but she's been just coming out and kind of, like, talking WWE style, like, in her promos. And I just really haven't, like, she hasn't really said anything of substance, and I know she can do so much more. And I'm not sure why they haven't, like, started clicking that yet.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's not a plan for her. If there is, you know, there's probably, you know, 115 other wrestlers that, you know, they got to get out there that they hired, you know, before her. So, yeah, no, I hadn't heard much about her. I see stuff, you know, on X from time to time, but yeah, I haven't seen anything official, so I wanted to get an update on that. Anything coming up in WWE outside of the draft? We still have that pay-per-view in France, right?
Yep, Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles, and I am just like, man, I don't know if I'm ready for this, because I just think it's going to be an incredible match, and it's overseas, so, like, I don't need to be up all night to watch it.
Yeah, no, that's great that it comes on at 1. I'm telling you, like, I feel like AJ Styles has done a lot of interviews and talked about, like, he has openly said, almost like John Cena, like, the end is near.
Yeah.
You know, AJ Styles said he gets up and he's still hurting every single morning. And you know, when we talked about this, you know that he's not going to take down Cody Rhodes for the belt. And he could have great matches and just barely lose. But I don't know what that does for him right now at this point in his career. Unless for him getting paid or whatever, like, then he's happy, you know, just being in the main event.
Yeah, I'm sure they want to keep him, because they know if they let him go and he actually went to AEW, which I think he has said he's not interested in, but if he went over there, you know, he'd be having, like, even more killer matches, because Tony would put him in front of the other 137 people, as you mentioned, that are on the roster. And so, but to bring it back around to what we were talking about at the very beginning of the show, you know, he is like a Samoa Joe in the sense that to me, he's always main event. They haven't always given him main event storylines, but like he is one of those turnkey guys that you just wind him up, let him go. And so I look at him in that same regard as Samoa Joe, and I'd love to see him have one more solid run.
He deserves a solid run. I mean, at least in WWE. I mean, I think he was the champ, you know, maybe once or twice. They did a good job of putting him over at the beginning. I think his first feud was with Chris Jericho, if I can recall correctly.
That is correct.
When he came out the world. Was that it? Yeah. So, I mean, I loved AJ Styles, man. I think he's a great wrestler, and, you know, had some great programs with John Cena. Those guys, that was probably some of the best work that I think he's done in WWE. So I would love to see something like that down the road. You know, I don't know if this match with Cody sets up something for AJ Styles, but AJ Styles needs to lead he needs a faction. It doesn't have to be like a Bullet Club thing, but like, I feel like he needs some cool ass people behind him.
I agree. And I will say this, if they don't have any like substantial plans, throw him down to NXT for 6 months. Let's put him into some kind of like, let's make some guys down there, because they need the help down there.
Yeah, AJ Styles might be, he might really intimidate some people if they got in the ring with him. But I don't see, to me, he's a top tier guy, so I would feel awkward about sending him down to AEW. But, you know, if the guy wants to just have pure wrestling matches, I mean, that would be the place to do it. Yeah, you know, I just don't know what's in AJ Styles' heart. I just don't want to see him jobbed out, you know, for the latter part of his career. That's just, you know, I mean, get him in a position where he can look good and be successful and, you know, make that the story for him. It doesn't have to necessarily mean he's the champion, but like, you know, give this guy a good path for the next, you know, couple of years. Don't just like serve him up to the champion, you know, 5 minutes after the guy finished his story.
Well, yeah, put him over. You know, he's a guy that could go over to Raw. I mean, you put him in CM Punk, you know, you put him in Rollins. I mean, I know they've crossed paths before, but like, there's so many opportunities over there. Like, that's the one thing about CM Punk, dude, is like, you could put him with anybody because it's all fresh. He's been gone all these years. Like, there's so many exciting matches. They just got to get these guys healthy and back to it.
You know what? You made a great point. I think AJ Styles is going to be on Raw. I think that's more of an attainable belt, I think, right now. So I would definitely put him there. And I don't think Damian Priest is going to hold it forever, and maybe it's something where, you know, goes back and forth with Drew McIntyre, then CM Punk gets in the mix. But yeah, that's a chance. That's a good spot where he could finally be a champion again. All right, Gary. Listen, man, I appreciate it. I know we're still working on a name for the show.
Yes.
I'll tell you this. My theory on names of the show are, I don't normally care too much, but I also don't care if somebody else has the name.
Okay.
Because as long as we're more popular than that podcast. So I like the high spot, just because Bubba says it all the time.
Let's,
and I was like, oh, cool. The high spot with, you know, Gary and Seth. You said the high spot's out there, but the high spot's just a bunch of jobbers, and like, we're taking over.
Let's do it, man. I'm down. I'm ready okay. to go. The high spot. Lock it in.
Oh, Gary, you wanted to say something. You wanted to say something to the listeners, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. This is actually, so people don't know this yet, this is my first podcast as an actual employee of the BRN. And I wanted to take this time at the end of the show, because I know that those of y'all that are still listening are really the best of the best of the best. So I just wanted to say that I'm really appreciative of the opportunity. Seth, my fellow host over here, is the man that got this done for me, and I really appreciate it. I want to thank you so much.
See, man, everybody talks about how money aggressive I am, but I'm always trying to help people out, man. You know, like, I think you do great work off the air. You do good stuff on this show. And like I said, I'm looking forward to, you know, what the next creative baby that you have is. And, you know, I know that you know, we need guys like you, guys like Rhett. Like, those are the guys that are going to help, you know, lead us to, you know, where we need to be.
Well, so. And I need to make sure, because a lot of people don't know, me and Lummy, we go back 2 years, and none of this even becomes a thought if he's not involved in it. And I just want to thank him so much for taking a chance on a random guy in the chat room one day and letting me come in and create some stuff. Thank you to Rhett for being just an amazing collaborator, good friend. I love talking all the behind the scenes stuff with him, like YouTube strategy, and of course Bubba the Love Sponge. Literally none of this exists without him. So thank all of you guys from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate the opportunity, and let's fucking go.
The High Spot with Gary and Seth.